and then...
Almost. It's like that close. Some of you guys know and feel like, oh, woman of intimacy and influence and wise up and rise up. That sounds good. Moments like this, sending out Todd and Addie Blue, make me grateful for a family that I have here at Bridgeway. It's just good to have a family. If you don't have a family to connect with and plug into, I strongly encourage you. We want to have you be our we want to have you be in our family. So if you don't have a place that you can connect with, come to our family, because we would love to love you and love each other. Now, Todd, when you talk about different, the Wall Street firm does things a little different. Is that illegal? No, that's not illegal. Perfectly legal. Okay, the Yokies are invading. What's that? Maybe controversial. So we might be looking for him on MSNBC or something like that. Who's that insider trading guy or whoever? No, we're going to bring legalness from Oklahoma to New York City through Todd and Addie Blue. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. You can turn there this morning. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. I also want to say welcome to those of you who are coming back from trips from spring break. How many of you went away for spring break and you're back? Look at the people with money. Go ahead, raise your hand. You guys put your hands down. The people with money. Right there. I'll take some of that later. Last week we started to talk about grace. And we talked about grace as kind of this vague-sounding, churchy word. But who can answer one question, little quick quiz? What did we say grace is, just simply defined? One word. Gift. Good. Jan Bingaman got it first. If I had a blow pop, it'd be yours. I'd give it to you. Grace is gift. And we live by gift. Let's all just say that together in a neat chorus sort of way. We live by gift. Everything that we own, enjoy, experience, all of it, we have solely and completely because God has chosen to give it to us. And that's a good thing, whether it's our time or our money or our car or creativity or whatever it is. We live by gift. It's kind of like having a full-ride scholarship from some person to go to school, right? Raphael, you would like to have a full-ride scholarship from some individual person just so you could go to school for free, wouldn't you? For you students, that would make life at school a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? Full-ride scholarship, right? Don't have to worry about money. Well, that's God's grace in our life. That is living by gift. We are completely thankful for it, and we draw on it for any life that we have remaining. Okay? So that's what we looked at last week. This week, we're going to look at these verses in Proverbs. Basically, what we want to talk about is found in here. And what it essentially is we want to look at giving grace or giving gifts to other people as sort of the natural extension or progression of God having given so much to us. So it's the natural outflow of what God has given to us. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. Now as I read this, I want you to see how backwards this is. How this completely cuts against the grain of our thinking. Kind of instinctively. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly or unjustly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, but he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, but he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Now, you'd think that if someone kept giving their stuff away over and over and over again, they'd eventually run out, right? You'd think that if someone kept refreshing other people that they would eventually run out of emotional energy. And they'd tank out, they'd wipe out, or burn out. You'd think that would be what would happen, but that's not what God thinks, obviously. The point of the passage and the main point of this talk is simply this. If we, or if you, are intentionally generous with other people, God will be generous with you. If you're intentionally generous with other people, God will be generous with you. Again, whether it's your creativity, your possessions, your clothes, the stuff that you treasure, whatever it might be, your time, your money, whatever it might be, you give it out, you'll get more. If you give your life away, you'll get more. Now, more of what? More of what? More of God. More of God. More from God. More grace. More life. More stuff. More of the God kind of things. More of, essentially, more of God. The last thing I want to do today is set some sort of heavy burden on you that, man, I stink because I'm not giving enough. And I'm not measuring up to the standard. And I'm another religious duty that Reiner's putting on me, putting on us. And I can't make the cut. I'm dying. That's the last thing I want to do. What I do want to do is this. I believe God wants to put grace inside of our hearts to become generous people. That whether we feel like it or not, we would give because secretly we know we're going to get more of God. I believe God wants to make us generous people. Generous people. Okay? I want to look at the why. Why would we want to give? I want to look at the what, kind of the stuff that we have very practically that we can give away to somebody else. And then the last thing I want to do is kind of look at the how. And we'll take first steps along that route. So everybody know where we're going? The why, the what, and the how. Okay? First of all, the why. Why has something to do, I think, with life purpose. Life purpose. You know, we've been created by God not as storage tanks of stuff, but we have been wired up by God as living conduits. That's how we're made. Not as tanks, but as conduits for the supply and the electricity of His goodness. And as we give and get and give and get and give and get and give and get, you know what happens to the wire, you know, that we are? What happens? It gets bigger. See, your capacity to flow more electricity gets bigger. So you learn this whole give and get thing, and you get this supply of the electricity of God, God's grace, God's good, coming through you. That's the idea. That's the purpose. All right, Acts 20, 35. Rick, if you want to put that up. I think this is the gist behind what Paul said. Acts 20, 35. In everything I did, he's talking to leaders at the church of Ephesus. He says, you guys, you know, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, and he's talking about his efforts with Ephesus. He stayed there for a number of months and years. We must help the weak. We must. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give, it's more good to give than it is to receive. Now, receiving is good, right? What did we say last week? Live by gift, right? We're living by gift. If we don't live by gift, what happens? If we don't live by gift, what happens? We die. We're like little kids. You know, we're there and we must have the nourishment of God. We have to have the direct supply. So receiving is good. Got it? Good. Giving is sort of the consummation of grace. The consummation of grace. As God's children, we have this new longing put inside of us to bless, to love, to give to people, to support people, to help people out. Right? That's an impulse that's been put within us. And so we have to feed and nourish that impulse within us. Okay? And as we give to other people, as we love on other people, and as we give to them of our stuff, it's sort of the finishing touches on grace that God's given to us. It's the completion of the gift that God's given to us. Do you get it? So we're a flow. We're a pipeline. Right? And we have the opportunity. You know, it's just like when you see a good movie. Right? You see a good movie. What do you want to do? You want to tell somebody, or you want to, oh, cool. Have you seen this movie? No. It's cool. I'll go with you. You see it a second time. Third, fourth, fifth time. Taking people along with you, you know. Ah, I ate at Chilino's the other day. Have you not eaten at Chilino's? No, I haven't eaten Chilino's. I'll take you. We do that all the time. Why? Because it completes the gift that we've been given of Chilino's. I got to make it real low level for you guys. We got to lower the bar. You get this stuff. I got to get closer to you guys. We're like Pez dispensers. Who likes Pez? Look at you guys. The three guys are totally these kids. Yeah, Pez rocks. Okay, some of you guys, you remember Pez? Somebody's shaking their head back there. What's he talking about? This is not church. We're like Pez dispensers, okay? We are like Pez dispensers. Now I got to figure out what I'm going to say about this. You're like, how are we like Pez dispensers? We're like Pez dispensers. I collect these. Got 8 or 9 of them. They come in different shapes and sizes and forms. Actually, they come in one shape and size. But you got Snoopy here. You got Star Wars characters. All the heroes of our lives come in Pez dispensers. You know what the beauty is, Pez? Okay. Now, no one is so selfish. At least I don't know anybody. Maybe you do. I don't know anyone who goes down to Walmart and buys the Pez off the shelf so they can eat it for dinner. You know, or like eat it themselves. Like, oh, Pez, you know. Like they can't, like it's Snickers or something, and oh, you know, and you keep buying the things and you take them out. No one would do that. Do you know anyone who does that? Hans Plum, you do that? Okay, shame on you. Right there, these three kids. Great. Point is ruined. Okay, most people, giving people, the joy of Pez is that it's the gift that keeps on giving. It is. It is. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Because you get a Pez, somebody gives, like Anna Marie Walker gave me this Pez, because she knows I like Pez, and she's a giver. And so she gives it to me, and then the fun of it is, I pull it out of my bag and I go, Pez? You know, and Ernie and I are having a good time right there. See, he's smiling, I'm smiling. That's the joy of Pez. We're like Pez dispensers. Right? If that doesn't make sense for you, just drop it. I'll give you something else later. But we are most alive. Look at Snoopy. He's smiling. We are most alive and vibrant when we are opening up our arms and our hearts and our bank accounts and our stuff. And we're giving to other people and saying, Pez. God takes us in his hands. And for his glory, he positions us around certain people. We're all in our little networks and our circles here. He positions us in certain circles so that we can give our lives away and say, go ahead, say it.
Yes.
I'll take two.
You live by gift, Bob Plugi. You must live by gift. You must not have been here last week. Okay? Giving away to glorify God is part of our purpose for living. Okay? Giving away to glorify God is part of our purpose for living. Does that make sense? Okay. I want to become a generous person. I have this on my heart. How How can I become more benevolent, more of an open-hearted person? But on the same token, I want our church to become a generous family. And frankly, I think we are. But I want to keep going. I want to keep developing a reputation in the city with people who are in the church and people who hate the church. Just people all around that Bridgeway Church, I mean, they're a little weird, but Bridgeway Church is a church that gives. They are generous people. And man, they love. They talk about Jesus a lot, too. They seem to love Jesus. And they love me. They fixed my flat tire. They gave me $10. When my dad died, they gave me flowers. They encouraged me. I want our family. I want to see our family. And I hear stories, you guys. You guys are doing this. You are. You're doing it in all sorts of ways. But I want our family to become known as a generous family. We hear stories of that, okay, coming in all the time. Now, I want to get real practical. I want to talk about four things real practically. These are some of the things that we've been given that we can give to somebody else. And as I'm talking about it, I want you to ask yourself, am I a storage tank or am I a pipeline? Okay? Am I eating all the Pez for myself or am I giving the Pez away? Okay? Am I giving the Pez away? First one. Turn to 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. 1 Peter 4. And this is our abilities. Our abilities. Remember last week we talked about our accomplishments being a gift from God? And remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15? Who can give me the first part of 1 Corinthians 15? Verse, what is it? 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. First part of it. Anyone? Who remembers it? Okay, no one remembers it, and so that's fine. There you go, right over there. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul chalks it all up to not something he has achieved, but something he has received. So all of our skills and our personalities and our abilities and all these sorts of things are gifts that God has given to us. Now, look at 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. In conjunction with this, starting in verse 8, it says, love each other deeply. So the context of this is love, loving people. Then he talks about hospitality in verse 9. One of the best ways you can give, one of the best things you can give away is your own home. We've got a lot of homeless, fatherless, motherless, even international students who are away from their homes. One of the things you can do in the 21st century, this is probably one of the most powerful spiritual gifts around, is the gift of hospitality, because it's so in need right now. People feel homeless even if they have homes. Okay? So hospitality. Then he goes on to verse 10. And he says this, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Now, it's talking about spiritual gifts in particular, but I think you can extend it to natural gifts, physical gifts, even social skills that we've been given. And then it says, when you're doing this, so when you're using the gift that you have to serve others, what you're actually doing is you're faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So when you're doing your thing is, whatever you can give, you're actually spraying grace all over the place. We want to spray grace all over the place. Okay? When you're doing your thing for the glory of God, then he says if your thing is speaking, let's say, you should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If you're good with your words and you give those away, you should treat those words as if they're God's words. Why? Because they are. God's the one who gave them to you. You live by gift. Okay? If your thing is serving, if anyone serves, you should do it with the strength God provides. There's lots of people around here who are servants par excellence. I mean, you guys are doing this. But the only way you will retain your stamina or you'll have enough energy to keep going is if you do it in the strength that God provides moment by moment. House church pastoring, teaching a class, leading worship, your singing. I mean, some of you guys who do background singing and stuff, you don't get credit. No one talks to you. No one encourages you. So you must do it in the strength that God provides. Okay? We live by gift. So you might say, well, I don't know what my thing is. Okay? That's a fair question. That's a fair statement. Two questions that I have for you. First question to find out what your thing is. What do you like to do? What do you enjoy doing in the kingdom? And just ask yourself that. What do you like to do in the kingdom? What really floats your boat, you know? Makes you happy. What is that? What is that thing? Hans Plum. I've known him for a while. He likes to play guitar and he likes to sing to God. Now he holds that to himself, and you and me and the rest of the city is going to be worse off for it. But if he does that to the glory of God, he's going to spray grace all over the place. And some of us have experienced it. He's touched us through that gift. He touches other people outside the church. Chad Rourke, remember my friend Chad Rourke I was talking to you about last week, who wouldn't be funny if it weren't for the grace of God? Remember that last week? Some of you guys who were gone on spring break, we missed some good stuff. You need to come. But he's right, not funny, but by the grace of God, right? Well, God's given him this gift. He likes to hang out with people and have a good time. Most of you guys do too, you know. So he invites my friend Raphael, who lives across the street from me. It's about a week or two ago, I guess, Calls him up. Group of them are going to Abuelo's. Calls Raphael up. Says, you want to go to Abuelo's? Grace is sprayed on Raphael. He's a conduit. He's a flow. And it's good. He comes to me afterwards and he's beaming. I went out to Abuelo's with this group. It was great. You know, we spent a couple hours. It's like, man, that's awesome. That's just so awesome. Some of you guys, you're dads and moms, and you love parenting. You love giving to your kids. Well, make your family one bigger. Just make it one bigger. We've got loads of people to choose from around here. I mean, there's students, there's people who need to be mothered and fathered from that side to that side. Make it one bigger. Second question you ask yourself to find out your thing, what are you good at? What's your skill? This might be the thing you do for a living. How could you take that skill and extend it into the life of another person? Allison Plum, I'm picking on the Plums today. I don't know if she's here. She's really good at cutting hair and styling hair and coloring hair and doing all sorts of wacky things with hair. My wife is totally living testimony. If she was here, I'd have her stand up, but she's sick. But tell Allison she did a great job on my wife's hair. She's getting compliments all over the place. She's really good at cutting hair. For example, she could go to the apartments that we go to every week or two, and she could go offer free haircuts, you know, to women over there. Or someone like her could go do something like that. What's your skill? Think of your skill, your thing. You're an accountant. You're a bank teller. You're whatever it is. And you could extend that skill into the life of another person as a free gift of grace. Your abilities are gifts from God. Now let's get creative with it. This ain't going to happen if we ain't planning it out. And I say ain't to get your attention, because as a speaker, you're not supposed to say ain't. Right? So you got to plan it out. Second thing is money and possessions. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The context of this, there is a famine in the land. And a lot of people in Judea, which is like Jerusalem sort of area, are starving to death. They're not eating because there's a famine. And as a result, Paul is trying to rally all the churches to raise some money so these guys can eat and not die. That's a pretty important cause. Okay, so he's talking to them about the attitude they should have when they give this money, and the reason they should even give it. Why would you even want to give your money away? Start at verse 6. It says, remember this. You guys, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Sounds like that proverb earlier, doesn't it? Okay, same point. Basically, if you're stingy with money, you'll get stingy in return. Now, I love money. It's a gift from God. I think it's a good gift from God. And again, like I said before, if some of you are looking to get some money off your hands, since I got the microphone, I just want to say, go ahead and give it to me. I'll take it. I just want to make that invitation right now if you want to give it to me. I love money, but really, like our purpose, we're meant to be conduits of the gift of money. We're not bank vaults. That's the way it's set up. The most giving people I know, whether it be with money or everything else, just happen to be wealthy people, and I think it's for this reason. I think it's because they care more about God than they do money. And I think it's because they worry more about people than they do their bank account. Okay, back to Paul. Verse 7. It says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but because God loves a cheerful giver. So don't give it because you're forced to, some obligation. Give it because you get to. John Wimber said, giggle when you give. That's a great quote. Giggle when you give. Enjoy it. So it's something we get to do. Then he says in verse 8, here's the thing I want to focus on. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So God gives us the stuff we need for life, but not just that. There's something more. It's not we work to get to keep. It is we work to get to give, so that you'll abound for every good work. Money is for people, for good stuff we give to people. It's real simple. So when you hear of some financial need that someone has, let your first thought be, how could I help? Let your first step be, how could I help in this situation? Okay. Now, not everyone needs money. So I'm not saying, oh yeah, well, touch everything with money. When someone asks you for money, you know, John told me I had to give him money, so give him money. Some people need diapers. They need for their kids. They need food for their family. Point is, you're probably there for a reason, so get involved in the life, not just the pocketbook. Okay? When you're sitting in a restaurant at lunch today, you're sitting in the restaurant at lunch today, and you have your meal and the whole deal, don't scrimp on the tip. Don't scrimp on the tip. I got a guy in my men's group, works at Applebee's. All of them that work there, they say they hate Sunday afternoons, working Sunday afternoons the most. You know why? Christians are notoriously lousy tippers. We are. We are notoriously lousy tippers. It's like our attitude is, well, we gave you at the office this morning or something. You know, at church. And that'll do. You know, we leave a track, not a tip. Don't do that. I'm going to start the Bridgeway Big Tippers Club. These are big tippers. Seriously. We want to be big tippled. You know, people know. Here's the point of it. People know we're Christians. Nobody else goes to lunch at 1 o'clock. On Sunday afternoons. You know, nobody does it. Everybody knows we're Christians, so they're totally geared to make a stereotype right then and there. So you have the opportunity to make a statement for Jesus without even saying anything. I don't care if they do a lousy job. Tip them anyway. More damage is done on Sunday afternoons. I'm just going to go off on this. More damage is done on Sunday afternoons to the kingdom of God than may happen for the kingdom of God on Sunday mornings. Be big tippers. Bless the person. Now, I'm a tightwad by nature. If you know me, I am. I'm a total tightwad. But my wife has played the Holy Spirit just wonderfully. You know? So she knows the whole scrimp on the tip thing. Let's say that together. Don't scrimp on the tip. Okay, my soapbox is done. I know a guy around here, he's about 20 years old. He's been going around and he's been giving out $50 bills to people just to bless them. Not to flatter them, not to do anything, just to bless them. He went out to the mall and bought gift certificates to stores that he thought my wife and I would enjoy. He's spraying grace all over the place. Okay? Love is just a theory until it hits your pocketbook. Love is just a theory until it hits your pocketbook. And there is a direct line between your heart and your wallet. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Okay? Next one. I'm going to look at words briefly here. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. This is what it says. I'm going to use the NAS because I think it's more literal. It says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification." Okay, so we know that. Build people up with your words. We've heard that. Do it according to the need of the moment, by the way. There are times and places for words. Sometimes people don't need to hear words. They need your silence. According to the need of the moment. Okay? So it takes some discernment. So that it will give what? Grace. We are grace givers. So that it will give grace to those who hear. Language and speech are gifts from God. And you guys know as well as I do, they have power. They can make your day or they can ruin your day. They have regular effect on us. So what I want you to do, I want you to try this sometime with someone you work with or go to school with or is in your neighborhood. I want you to go, maybe this week, purpose in your heart to go to someone and just compliment them. Give someone a compliment. Tell them they're good at what they do. Maybe it's their lawn. Maybe it's their flowers. Maybe it's their breath. I'm lowering the bar. Really. Try anything. You speak that kind of stuff and walls come down. I've watched it happen. Tough people, when you say, "Yeah, you're really good at this." Not to flatter them or, "I'm going to wheel my way in there and give them the gospel." Just bless people. Who can you bless? Who can you give? The impulse is there. Act on it. Gospel, of course, our story about Jesus, our own personal story, is the greatest spoken grace that we have. But if we're not speaking that, then we better be encouraging. We better be giving something with our words. Okay? Encouragement is the stuff of friendships. So that's what we want. Last thing I want to talk on is found in Acts 13. Acts 13. And this refers to us as a church family. So it has to do with us corporately, all right? Our church family. And it has to do with our leading people. Giving away some of our leading people. This is the church of Antioch. Now the church of Antioch, it is a lot like us. They're a lot like us. They were Gentiles. They weren't Jewish. They were Gentiles. How many Gentiles do we have here? Okay, we're all Gentiles. There may be some Jewish people here, though, if there's some Jewish people here, but we're Gentiles. That means we're non-Jews. There were prophetic types. You know, like we've got around here, people that hear things from the Lord and see visions and whatnot. There were good leaders. They had Barnabas and Paul with them for a whole year, helping to start up the church. We have good leaders here. And they were new. They were less than 5 years old. A lot like our church, right? A lot like our church. So I want you to see what happens to them. Acts chapter 13. Starting in verse 2. It says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." Now in the next few years, this sort of thing is going to be happening regularly around here. Todd and Addie Blue. Perfect. perfect example. This sort of thing is going to happen regularly around here because we want to be a sending church. We want to give our Pez away. Our Pez is our people. Okay? We want to be an Antioch-type church. KZ's going away for a couple months this summer. Of course, she goes away every summer, really, for a couple or 3 months. But she's going to go to Turkey for a couple months for some language training. And she's coming back, and she's going to be with us, for the next period of years, but who knows? I mean, who knows what God's going to do with KZ? Now, my selfish side and the side that loves KZ wants to say, no way. She's not leaving here. Uh-uh. She's staying here. She helped build this church. She is a vital part of our team. Student ministry would not happen without Kay Zahasky. And you guys know that if you know her. But open-hearted generosity says there are things more important than me, and there are things more important than this church. The glory of God, first of all, is more important than us church. And there are lost people who need to hear about Jesus through KZ. And that's more important. That is more important. We want to be like NASA. We want to develop a church that's like NASA. We want to be a training base. And we want to be a launching pad. And you're going to see this happen. This Todd Natty Blue thing is going to happen a whole lot more. And it's going to require generosity to give them away. It's going to require generosity to fill their posts of leadership. There's leadership on some of you that's being withheld, and we, for the glory of God, we need you to become a conduit in this church. Not only for this church, but also for loving people and giving to people out there. Okay? We have to be constantly reproducing leaders because we don't want to be a storage tank at this church. We don't. We're not going to just sit here and kind of like a swamp, gather moss. It's the difference between a swamp and a sea. You know what the difference is? Swamp sits there. A sea has something going out of it. Okay? That's what we want our church to be like. We don't want to even just be that way with people or with us as individuals. We want to be that way as a church. Now, I want to wrap up with the how. Okay, I want to look at how. I'll finish with this. Let's say this one sentence. If you could raise that up. How do I go about doing this? How do I start off? Find one person and take a risk. Just find one person and take a risk. Ask the Holy Spirit, who's the one? Who's the one person that you want me to bake a loaf of bread for? Who's the one person that you want me to buy flowers for anonymously? Who's the one person you want me to give $10 to? Simple. Who's the one person that you want me just to encourage? One person. I remember within a few months of coming here, John Bingaman asked me the question, who do you burn for? Who do you burn for? Who are you going to give your life for? Who's that group of people or those persons that you would die for? And that question has stuck with me, and I've asked that question a lot over the last 3 or 4 years. Who is it? But I've realized over the last few years that I'm not going to find out the answer to that question unless I start, if I don't start with one. If I'm not involved with one. I mean, you can have a vision for the nations, you know, global evangelization. We're going to reach the world. The power of God is going to be released over the course of the world. And you're just doing your life and you're not looking at the one person. I mean, it's meaningless. All the talk and all the mission stuff. And who are you giving your life away to? Who are you involved with? And that's where the rubber meets the road. Some of this is intimidating kind of stuff. This is risky business. And I'm in that club. That's the way you feel. That's the way I feel as well. It's like, my neighbors. Wow. They're so scary.
I don't know what to do. You know, and you've got this, you know, there's this, I don't know, what, there's nothing in my hand. So you feel all nervous and stuff. It is, it's a risky business. It's intimidating. But let me say this, the rewards are worth it. The rewards really are worth it. A few of us were talking about our neighbors, in our neighborhoods, and just about what we feel like God's doing in our neighbors. I challenge you, if you don't know your neighbors yet, go introduce yourself. Plain and simple. Strike up a mini conversation with them. One of them. Maybe you know them. I met one a couple doors down, had a 10 or 15 minute conversation on Monday, and just a simple thing, complimented her on the garden that she was working on, all that sort of stuff. And God has given me something in return. You know what that is? A heart for that woman. We get bigger. We give, we get, we give, we get. That's what we get. Like last week, I want to finish with a little corporate exercise, have a little fun with you. I brought some gifts, and they're taped under a few of your chairs. In order to find them, you're going to have to look at you all staring at me. The kids are looking. They know they live by gift. You got to look under your chairs. Who's got them? Oh, yeah, there's one. Who's got them? There's one. Stand up. If you got one, stand up. Stand up. Woo-hoo! Okay. No, stand up. Stand up. This is to prove the point that giving away is really fun. It's supposed to be fun. Stand up. What do you got there, Thomas J. Fine? What kind of cookies? No, like, where are they from? Mrs. Fields cookies. Yeah. Delivery time. What do you got, Denise?
I think I've got cookies from City Bites.
City Bites cookies. Ooh. Wait. Oh, wait. Okay, well, that's cool. What do you got? More Mrs. Fields cookies. Oh, look at you go. Okay, here's the rules of the game. What's the rules of the game? If you want to keep any of these, if you want to keep any of them, you have to give them away. Okay? Or at least half. Okay, so if you want to keep them, you have to give them away. Okay? That's the God thing. If you're intentionally generous with people, God will be generous to you, right? Okay, second rule, find one person now and take a risk. Okay? Find one person and take a risk. Okay, and now remember, all of you who are getting, we're gonna trickle cookie crumbs all around Bridgeway Church. Okay, so if you get some, the rule is if you've got it, you've got to give it away. You've got to give at least half away. Okay. Let's see the trickle down of grace. Where will the trickle down go? Okay, Denise. Okay, go ahead. You're doing great. Okay, you're fine. Okay, what's the point? Just because I wanted you guys to have cookies. And I'm nice. 2 Corinthians 4:15. Oh, they drop out. Here's a good passage that I think works. Okay, here's the point. You give it away. Are you still splitting them in half? Who split them in half? Yeah, you got a split in half one. Okay. I don't promise like multiplying of loaves and fishes or multiplying of City Bites cookies. Or there's cookies everywhere. Our first miracle. Bring it. I think Paul wrote this verse for Bridgeway Church on this morning. All this is for your benefit. All these cookies. Okay, here it is. So that the grace or the cookies that are reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Thank God. See, he's funny. Chad is a funny man. Okay. Thanksgiving. Thank God for cookies. They overflow to the glory of God. Okay. We want to go out and overflow and lavish on people. That's what we want to do. That was the point of that exercise. I hope you got that. We need to dial down a little bit. I knew this would be a hard transition to go into ministry. We're all like having fun. I'm all. We want to spend a little bit of time before the Lord. What we do, if you are new here, we like to pray for you. And where I'd like to take it this morning is to pray over you in this whole area of becoming generous. It's not an easy topic to talk about because it's our stuff. We're instinctively selfish. You know, we're like kids and we go, mine, mine. Right? So this is not something that's easily where we get outside of ourselves and give life away. So what do we need when we feel that need? Yeah, right there. We need grace. We need grace. And you know what we even need before grace? We need the desire. We need the desire to do this. So I want to spend a little bit of time before the Lord. Charlie, if you'd come back up. I know you got your baby in your hand. I'd like us, before we go out of here, I'd like us to take 2 minutes. And I'd like us to spend some time individually before the Lord and think over that one person, okay? Think over that one person and pray over that one person. And I want to just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, okay? And then we'll be dismissed. Holy Spirit, show us who this one is. Jesus, you are a master at noticing the one. They have names like Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus and that woman at the well, whatever her name was, and the woman in Luke chapter 7 who wept at your feet, and you looked straight into her eyes and loved her. You always notice the one. Even though there were crowds of people around you. Jesus. Lord, I know that there are neighbors, some neighbors that we have living in our neighborhoods who are on our minds. God, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit on us to go to them and pour out your Spirit on them. That random God kind of stuff would start happening. We want to become generous people to your glory and for your honor alone. When I have the ministry team, if you could put the ministry team up. And let's go ahead and stand. If you are on the ministry team, I want you to come up now. John and Kathy Phillips, Charles and Mary Jane Hall and your house church, go ahead and come up now. And what I'd like to encourage you to do is if you would like prayer for even the desire to give to that one person, just even the desire to do it, you're starting right there. I need help. Come up here. We'd like to pray for you also for the grace to give to them. Even if you just want to pray over that person with someone else, I want to encourage you to come up. We need to pray over this sort of stuff. Otherwise, it's just going to be done in the strength that we provide. Bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. Tip big. You're dismissed.
And we will worship, and we will bow down, and we will call you Lord. and we will kneel before the maker of the universe, and we will call you Lord, and we will worship, and we will bow down, and we will call you Lord, and we will kneel before the maker of the universe, and we will call you Lord.
The universe, and we will call you.